stand to our feet. Amen. 552. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Oh, glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provideth all my needs. Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provideth all my needs. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Sing that chorus one more time as Brother Terrence comes. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Amen. Good morning. Glad to see everyone with us this morning. Remember, we got a lot traveling around, so be with them and bless them. A few requests. Also, remember the October youth sermon quizzes are downstairs. If you haven't picked yours up, make sure you do today. Remember the Turpin family. Dad lost his sister, Nervy. The funeral is today at 2 o'clock, so we'll be leaving, and Dad's doing the funeral, so we won't be here this afternoon. So just remember that. Remember the family. Also, remember Brother David Marlowe's wife's in the hospital. We just found that out, or found it out Thursday, so just remember her. Brother Rhino gave me one, says, please pray for my stepdad, Bill. He lost his mother, and he's on his way to Florida for the funeral. So just remember that also as we pray. The only request I have, I think, I'm getting something from the back, but I don't. Hang on one second. Yeah. Remember Richard's dad, Dale. Continue to pray for him. Always keep him on your heart as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. Lord, we have many people that are traveling. Just bless them, be with them, and guide them wherever they may be this morning and this afternoon. Be with the sick. Be with the ones that lost their the loved ones there, Lord. Remember the Turpin family and the Dale family. Just continue to bless them. Be with Dale Roberts. Continue blessing him, Lord. Just bring him out of this and thank you for what you've done for him, Lord. Remember all the other ones that we pray for. Just bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with Wade this morning and this afternoon as he studies, Lord. Lord, that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us of all of our sins. We love you for you. Many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing page 509. I'm sorry, 510. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Key of F, I think. Okay.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so full and so free.
Once again,
oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so pure and so free.
I want to live.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Once again,
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Just reach out and touch the Lord.
Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Once again,
oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment for your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what we want to do. Just reach out unto him. Amen. By faith. Amen. Let's sing this little song, I guess, right before Brother Colley. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Page 498. I know it's, we sang it when we were little kids, but we can still sing it. When I first learned this song, I learned it in the Baptist church, and it was in Spanish. So I learned it in Spanish, and I didn't know there was an English version until later, years later. So I may throw in a verse in Spanish. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Busca primero el reino de Dios y su perfecta justicia, y lo demás añadido será. Aleluya, aleluya. Just sing hallelujah. Aleluya. Once again, that first verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The most important thing is to seek the kingdom first. Brother Colleen, do you want to come up? Or do we take the offering up first? We do? Or Brother Mark, then come up. Yes. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes. Amen. Let's sing that second verse of that Seek Ye First as Brother Colley comes. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus.
We're going to read from Psalm 141. Well, I know he left my glasses somewhere. I think I can do them real proud. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Let's pray first. Dear Lord Jesus, most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, we're ever grateful and thankful for all that you do for us. Because when you are with us and guiding and leading us and protecting us, Father, we don't even realize that you are there. We know that you are, and we ask you to guide us this morning. Lord, bless us. Touch every heart, Father. Lift the spirits that's not of you. God, and we ask you to guide us. Remember those in the Sunday school classes and every heart that is here, Lord, touch it and fill it with that which you have need of. Lord, heavy hearts, make them light. God, we thank you and ask you to bless Brother Wade this morning and touch him in a special way as he prepares to minister unto us. Yeah. Let us receive that which we have given him, that we all be blessed together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, and give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips.
Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works in man that work iniquity.
Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. Forget my prayer, also shall be in thy calamities. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when we cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth.
My eyes are unto thee, O God, on the Lord. In thee is my trust. Lead not my soul destitute.
Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and again of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall on their own nets, whereas that I will not escape. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Colley. Praise God. Let's sing 553. Know ye not, know ye not. Ye are the temple. Amen. Key of C, I guess, would be fine.
Oh, know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, I know I am a temple. Yes, I know I am a temple. Oh, yes, I know I am a temple. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. I'm full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'll sing in Spanish. Oh, si soy yo, soy el templo. Si soy yo, soy el templo. Si soy yo, soy el templo. Soy el templo del Espíritu de Dios. Lleno de poder, lleno de gracia, lleno de gloria. Lleno de poder, lleno de gracia, lleno de gloria. Lleno de poder, lleno de gracia, lleno de gloria. Soy el templo del Espíritu de Dios. Know ye not, oh know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know I am a temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Full of praise, full of praise, full of power and full of glory. Full of praise, full of power and full of glory. I'm full of praise, full of power and full of glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Once again, know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to have Brother Wade come, so let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Praise the Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you, to see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted,
yes, sir.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good to be here this morning. We got to do a little double duty today, but that's all right. Lord be with us and bless us. Dad will be going to do part of his sister's service, so we give him a day off from here anyway. So good to be here in the house of the Lord. You can congratulate June when she gets up here, because today is our 40th wedding anniversary. We were at the show festival yesterday, and the lady was giving her condolences. Anyway, she said, "Well, I don't have to go through that 40 again. That's good. That's a blessing." But you know, I was thinking, coming up the road, we lived 20 years without the Lord, the first 20, and we've lived the second 20 with the Lord in our life. And to say it's been easier, you can't really say that, but you know how to handle it when you have the Lord in your life. You really, a lot of things you didn't know how to handle when you didn't have the Lord in your life. But we're just going to, that first 20 was experiences, and this 20 that we've just come through, we've grown, and I tell you, you just can't put a price on love, even though it's filial love. But if you got the agape love of the Lord, then you'll have filial love for your wife, because the Bible tells you, you love your wife as Christ loved you. So remember that next time. Remember that next time. Whose is this? Did Bob leave this up here Wednesday? Must have. Anyway, at least it's got color to it. It's not white. But if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Daniel. Let's begin the sixfold purpose. We kind of hit on it a little bit last Sunday, but we're going to background for a few minutes, and then we'll get into part two, which we should be able to go 1, 2, 3. Does anybody not have the chart that T gave out last Sunday afternoon? If you do not have yours, raise your hand. Raise it up high. He's getting old. He can't see either, so. It'll be something we can go over, the chart. Make sure you got it with you. Make some notes and whatever you want to do. This afternoon we'll put the big chart up, but I want us to go through all six folds today. We'll do 1, 2, and 3 this morning, and then we'll do 4, 5, and 6 this afternoon. So very vital, very important, because it's the purpose of the redemption of Israel and the land. And that's all of Daniel's 70 weeks. Is really compiled in that last week of the redemption of Israel and the redemption of the land. Remember, couple of announcements, October 26th, I think T said, October 26th is the fall festival down at the park. So remember that. That's coming up in a few weeks. November the 2nd will be our second youth Bible study. We'll be starting maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock instead of 3:30, because we didn't have time to answer all the questions. And by the way, we've already got questions piled up for this one coming up. We don't have to sit and wait on anybody. They've already sent them to us. So, well, the youth has got a lot of questions. And you know, if there's a Bible question, there's got to be a Bible answer. And we just believe, you know, as we're going to read here in a few minutes, that faith's final resting place is in the Word of God. You can't use, now you can say Brother Branham said, or the prophet said, that's okay, but put it in the Bible. Because faith's final resting place lays in the Word of God, not in what any man says. All right? But we know for one thing's for sure, and let it be known from this pulpit, that we believe that Brother Branham was our prophet. There was no one else, not going to be anyone else. He is the one that had the word for the hour, and don't think you can correct him. That's right. That'd be like... Oh man, that'd be like you be in the first grade trying to correct a Rhodes scholar. You know, you just, and I'm going to use this word because Brother Ram used it. I took it out. He said stupid. He said that's just stupid. Sixfold purpose, part two. All right. Everybody good? Say amen. All right. Here we go. Daniel 9:21. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Trying to let everybody get in here. Luis kind of pulled the trigger a little too quick this morning, but that's okay. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all these things you give us. Give us a beautiful and a wonderful day to serve you. And thank you, Lord, for all the lives that are standing here today, Lord. There's many testimonies. There's many things we've been through. But, Lord, you brought us through every one. Amen. We praise your great name for that, Father. We pray that you just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. You be the active participant. Lord, you be the one that does the revealing, because without you here, Lord, we'll just have a little meeting. But Lord, please reveal, as I've always asked you, Lord, reveal yourself to the people. Reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory of the bride. Lord, we pray that you just be with the ones that are not here. Brother Joe and some of them are gone, Lord, to Brother Tim's meetings. You'll bless them, Lord, on the highways. Keep us all safe. Forgive us of our sins. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 9:21 says, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Always happens in the evening time.
Right.
And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now remember, he didn't come to give him mass confusion.
Right.
He came to tell Daniel exactly what he was praying for and give him clarity on where he was standing. And that's what I hope and pray that we do today. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, who's that? Jews. And upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to do 6 things. We're going to talk about 3 of them today. Number 1 is to finish the transgression. Look at these words. Finish. To make an end of sin. And reconciliation for iniquity. Let's remember those. Finish, end, and reconciliation. All right? And to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.
Amen.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Let me stop right here just a second. When you go back up to 24, that is the restoration or the redemption of Israel in that one verse. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
That is the restoration of Israel, and the city is going to be done in that time of 70 weeks.
Right.
Is that all right? Say amen. Well, you better say amen because it's the Bible.
Right.
Okay? All right? And now what's going to happen in verse 25, he's going to tell Daniel how it's going to happen, but he's going all the way back to about 530-something B.C. and bring it all the way up and tell Daniel what's going on. So verse 24 is it.
Right, amen.
I'll read the quote in just a few minutes. Brother Ram said that's all that's allotted to Israel and that's all that's allotted to the city is Daniel 9:24. Now 9:25, 26, and 27 tells you how it's going to happen.
Right.
So keep that in your mind. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks.
Right.
So that's 1 7-week period and a 62-week period.
Right.
The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. We're going to get to this in a couple of weeks. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? Not Israel. They turned him down. This is for us. Okay. We'll read about that in a minute about the engrafting. All right. Where was I? But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come. Now, who is that? Titus. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Totally destroy it like it had been destroyed during that 70-year captivity. Has everybody got that?
Right.
Because when Gabriel comes to Daniel in this moment of time, the temple and the city is laying desolate.
Right.
According to 2 Chronicles. We'll read that in just a minute. Okay? And the end thereof shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. So there's going to be a war somewhere. And he shall confirm the covenant with many. Now who's that he? He is the Antichrist. Because
right.
God won't confirm a covenant and then break it. This right. man confirms a covenant for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. He's going to walk into the temple. The Pope is going to walk in. This Gentile Pope is going to walk into the temple and say, I'm God.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Exactly right.
Think what's going on with those 144,000 Jews.
Right.
And all the others. For the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. So sometime after that, what he does... the Antichrist does when he breaks that covenant, we'll see this afternoon. That's when you're going to have the Battle of Armageddon, right? And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. even unto the consummation. Now, what is the consummation of 70 weeks of Daniel? Not when the two witnesses get finished preaching. It's when they walk into the millennium. That's the end, that's the consummation.
Right.
And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. Because I want to take, we got a lot to read, but really a lot of it is scripture for some of you that's got the quotes in your hand, but we will read them. Now I want you to let's background just for a minute as some of the other ones are coming in. We know that there was a prophecy given, and I told you this in the history part of this teaching. If we go to 2 Chronicles 36, if you'll pull it up there, verse 17 through 21, it says, therefore he brought upon him the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, that was everything Solomon had built, everything he had overlaid with gold, everything he had overlaid with silver, it's going to be gone. The temple's going to be broke down. And the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon.
Right.
And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem. Because remember, a wall is a fortification. It's kind of like us having a security system. But once you break that security system down, there's no city that's safe without a wall back then. All right? It's because you got to remember this is back to the Jews back in the 500 B.C. All right, and they burnt the house of God and break down the walls of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And I think all that was left over, if you'll continue looking in the history, all that was left over was Solomon's porch. And it was all made out of concrete, so you couldn't burn it. But Solomon's porch is still there today. That's the only thing that was left from the original temple, was Solomon's porch. And really, it was just the steps that go up to the porch. So in other words, man, we'll get into this in a little while when we get into the streets being built in troublous times. Man has always hated the Jews, but they know if they can keep them out of their homeland that God's not going to deal with them. Even the Gentiles that are around them, that's why they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. They were building the wall and they were trying to keep the people away from knocking the wall down. Because they knew if, and we even know now, like where Brother Brown says, God doesn't, he only deals with Jerusalem or the Jews when they're in their homeland. Alright? So what man has been trying to do for hundreds and thousands of years is keep Israel scattered. Well, it's Satan doing it, you know that, through the people, is trying to keep Israel scattered, but now we see that they're back in their homeland, and they're not going to leave this time. There's going to be 144,000 taken in a rapture of what's going on at the moment. Everybody okay with that? And destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. So anyway, the ones he didn't kill, he picks them up and takes them to Babylon.
Right.
And Daniel, or his mommy and daddy one, is included in that bunch because he's in captivity now in Daniel 9.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
He'd been in captivity 68 years, so he was probably born in captivity. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where there were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Because remember, this kingdom is cursed. Another kingdom comes in. Nebuchadnezzar gets destroyed. Actually, remember, Nebuchadnezzar, God said, you've made yourself too high and mighty. I was just reading it the other day. He said, you're going to eat grass for 7 years. Your fingernails are going to grow out and you're going to grow hair all over your back. And you're going to eat like a cow for 7 years.
Right.
Well, then he comes back into power and then his son, Belshazzar comes in, and Belshazzar is the one that God wrote many, many tinkle up or sin and said that you've weighed in the balances and found wanting. Well, he dies.
Right.
So then now what happens is the Medes and the Persians come and take over according to scripture. Because remember, Chronicles, this is written back before it even happens. This is a prophecy. Everybody okay with that? Where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. Remember, we're talking about two things here. The land and the people.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Right.
To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 62 and 10, which is 70 years. All right, this 70-year of captivity. And remember, we're in Genesis 29. If you'll pull that up, we'll kind of get through this background pretty quick. Genesis 29, verse 27, it talks about fulfill her week, and we will give thee this for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 years. That Jacob served 7 years for Rachel.
Right.
And he fulfilled her week, which was what? 7 years. So the prophet of God had to just look in the Bible. I'm sure the angel of the Lord said, hey, have you read over here in Genesis where it says that 1 week equals 7 years?
Right.
All right. Because, you know, Brother Branham just didn't come up with that. He had to get it out of the Bible.
Amen.
Listen, Brother Branham was a Bible prophet. He did not. Now, sure, he looked at Larkin and he looked at Uriah Smith and he looked at all these different ones. And he said, I agree with some of them. He, even in Dr. Schofield, he said, there's some things I agree, some things I don't agree with. He said, and they were scholars for their time. But see, there had to be a prophet to tie up all the loose ends. Here's the important part. Brother Branham tied up all the loose ends that was loose. Because remember, look, Clarence Larkin's chart that he drew before Brother Branham came on the scene is the exact same chart that Brother Branham drew
right.
for the Daniel 70 weeks. But remember, Clarence Larkin was a Trinitarian.
Right.
So see, that part he was off. Had to be a prophet come in. Had to be a prophet to come in to bring one God back in line, to bring water baptism back in line, to bring all the no eternal hell. All those things that some of those had probed at and missed, there were certain things they got right. They weren't false prophets. They were right for their time. Moody, Sankey, Finney, Calvin, all those great men. You listen, they're not going to be in hell. They're bride. They're bride. Okay, and same way with Clarence Larkin. I would say his teachings are well good. But they're not all exactly right. That's why we put our resting place on the Word of God, that the prophet of God gave us clarity while he was here and left us 1,100 sermons. So in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, where's he going to sound? He's not going to sound from a tape recorder. He's going to sound from me and you. All right? Just the way it is. That's what the Bible says. Amen? So, faith's final resting place is in the Word of God.
Glory.
So we take what the Word of God says. So now let's go back to Daniel 9:1. This is for Daniel's prayer. In the first year of Darius, now there see you bring Darius is a Mede, Persian, Chaldeans, and the different ones. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. He's already gone off the scene and died. Daniel 9:1 says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Assuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. What was Daniel doing? Daniel was literally reading Jeremiah's quote book.
Right.
He was reading Jeremiah's sermons. If they would have had a tape recorder, Jeremiah's tape recorder would have been there. But Daniel got a revelation. But you know where he needed a revelation from? He needed it from God.
Right. Right.
It wasn't just a reading. It was where the angel Gabriel. Why did Gabriel come? To give him what? Skill and understanding.
Yes.
Alright, so God sends messenger in this day to give us skill and understanding. Everybody alright with that?
Glory.
In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And we know the prayer continues down. And because of Daniel's prayer, I was thinking about this yesterday, I don't believe in luck. As being a Christian, I don't believe in being lucky. I believe in being fortunate. But I believe we all got a choice. But God knew what our choice was before we got here. We don't. So we continue to pray. That somebody asked Brother Branham on the tape I was listening to. They said, well, Brother Branham, if predestination's like you said, then why are you preaching? He said, I'm throwing the net. He said, I'm throwing the net to get the ones that are out there that's kind of, you know, out in the water. He said, I'm throwing the net. And he said, bringing them in so that they can hear from God, which I think is wonderful. Because predestination is, you know, predetermined destination. But it's because of foreknowledge that God knew what you would do. He knew you'd want it. He knew Daniel. That's what my whole point is. He knew Daniel as soon as he come to that 2 years left. It was close to getting out of there. He knew Daniel was going to absolutely open the windows up, throw the sackcloth and ashes, go to fasting and praying. And that's why he had Gabriel standing there ready to go give him a message. All right, same way with you and I. We were screaming for what? Clarity. We were screaming for a prophet because you know what? We're getting ready to get out of here. And you're not going to get out of here with all these loose ends that were left with Larkin and Smith and all those different ones. We had a prophet come to give us clarity. All right? So now let's look. That's why I mean, I'm telling you this because this is one of the most contentious doctrines that Brother Brown ever had, because most time when people get ready to leave the message, the first thing they say is, he was wrong in Daniel 70 weeks. Right? They just don't have clarity.
Right.
Because you know what? It was kind of funny when we had the ministers meeting several years ago. They were denying quotes and we were bringing all the quotes in and they were throwing quotes out. Okay, that's what I told them. I said, he preached three sermons just for nothing? No. If you read that, if you go through and look and listen or read Daniel 70 weeks, go from Gabriel's instructions, sixfold purpose, to the 70th week. I got it laying in there. It is the most positive the man hardly has ever preached. I'm sure of this. Thus saith the Lord, this has got to happen. This has got to happen. You know, I mean, they're, you know, if you listen to that, their commentary of the people that get ready to leave the message, they say he was wrong. It was like he was, and don't get me wrong, a bumbling idiot. He was not. He was absolutely the most positive he had ever been, because he had to get that out of the way to get to the seven seals, which nobody had ever preached. All right? So he couldn't be wrong. We just didn't understand what he was saying. But I believe we do understand what he was saying. Amen? I believe we have clarity. We have to have clarity. We're not going to get out of here with fear and uncertainty. Fear and uncertainty is what kept us here from the Garden of Eden till this day. It's fear and uncertainty. So we need to get rid of that. So now let's start with number one. Try to get finished here by 11:30. And I got this afternoon, so boy, I like this. Now there's our lesson for the next three or four meetings. Whatever the Lord will reveal, 70 of weeks. Now I'll ask Doc if he'll tonight put up my board so I'll be able to mark it up. Now we know I've got the chart in there. We'll give it out next Sunday. I don't want you to miss it now. You got to study with me and study deep or you'll miss it.
Right.
I want to draw it out here on the blackboard. Then you bring your pencils and paper and write down these dates, these times and all about it. Now the 70 of weeks begins, now get this, after the church is taken out.
Amen.
Now that should not stumble you, because the chart you're holding in your hand, we've already left the building.
Right. Yeah.
We've already left this earth.
Right.
When those two prophets start preaching to redeem Israel and redeem the city, we're gone.
Right. Amen.
All this other is not filler, but it's just like I said before. Daniel 9, 24 is right here. But now 25, 26, and 27, you got to go back and get the history of how you got here.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
The history of how you got right here.
Right.
If y'all would look this way. I'm not over there. I'm over here. If you don't mind, I'd like some participation. I mean, if it doesn't bother you, you can just leave if you want to. It's not going to bother me any if you think you don't need it. I do, so I'm going to stay right here. Now the 70 weeks begins after the church is taken out. Now everybody understand that, say amen.
Right. Amen.
Now after the church is taken out, because from Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 19:21 is connected with the 70 of weeks. Therefore we must stop and explain it before we go further. We must stop and explain why these 70 of weeks, because if you don't, you'll miss the seals, you'll miss the trumpets, you'll miss the vials. What? You'll miss the positioning of it.
Right.
Okay? You'll miss the positioning of when one comes in, one goes out. That's why Brother Brown was trying to preach the trumpets, trying to preach the trumpets, trying to, he said, I'll take a whole week. God said, you already preached them.
Right.
Spiritually or supernaturally in the sixth seal, he preached the trumpets. Then he preached the feast of the trumpets,
right,
which is a little bit different than preaching seven trumpets individual. Right. You know why? Because it's all to Israel. We're not even here when it happens.
Right.
All right? Revelation 6:1 to 19:21 is connected with the 70 of weeks. Therefore, we must stop and explain. You'll miss the trumpets. You'll miss the vials, the plagues, three unclean spirits like frogs, three woes, casting out the red dragon, the woman and the sun. You'll miss it all if you don't, because it takes place right here in this 70th week. That's this week you've got in your hand, the chart that you've got. That's the 70th week. No, there's no half weeks in here.
Right.
Okay, there's whole weeks.
Right.
There's no half weeks in the Bible.
Right.
Now, the prophet Daniel had been in Babylon for 68 years. You who wants to run references back and save yourself time of looking it up. 68 years he went into captivity in B.C. 606. And when the vision came to him was, what, B.C. 538? 538 from 606, at least 68. 68 years he had been in Babylon amongst heathens and still had the victory. We can't stay an hour. How about that? Number two, Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. The Jews that we know, that's not the real Jew. The real Jew is that real Orthodox who has not defiled himself with the things of the world, who's not went out and joined other churches. The reason I'm reading this, because watch, that's the ones that's returning yonder, living on cheese and bread. It's not the Wall Street Jew. They stayed in America. They stayed where the money was at. All right? These are the honest ones that come back that says we're to come back on the wings of an eagle. Remember, they wouldn't get on the airplane. Brother Brown, that was back then, Transworld Airway or TWA or whatever it was. He said, we go back on eagle's wings. So they're going to go back. They went back over there on those airplanes. Not allowed in the old city. Had to build them a city on the side of the no man's land with machine guns pointing both ways. Brother Dale's been there, and they do. They got Palestine, they got this, they got that. But she's beginning to put forth her buds, amen and amen, the time is at hand. There's Ishmael and Isaac standing there fussing about the land. So we got to get the land right too. See, you and I don't have a land. We don't have a continuing city. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're not looking for a Jerusalem that is natural over there. Sure, we're going to go over there and live, but it's not ours.
Right.
It's the Jews.
Right.
The whole millennium is to the Jews. We'll read that this afternoon and get some clarity on that, I think. They won't let them come to Old Jerusalem. You have to go there first and let them explain all that to you, the Arabs, then take you over on the other side. That's Ishmael's children. But wait, there's coming a time when God's children is going to take her over. That's right. Jerusalem will be rebuilt again. Scripture says,
amen.
Be rebuilt. The daily sacrifice will be set up. That's what they're working on right now. And the Antichrist will make a covenant for them last 7 weeks. We know that's last 7 years. It's not 7 weeks. We know that. And in the midst of it, he'll break that covenant, turn them in all into Catholicism. The abomination will spread over the whole thing like that, and then the end shall be.
Amen.
Watch. All right, let's start with the sixfold purpose. Let's read it now again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Two things. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.
Amen.
So inside of those 70 weeks are the 490 years. Are we okay with this? 70 times 7 is 490 years. 70 weeks times 1 week equals 7 years. Everybody got that?
Right.
70 times 7 is 490. That's why they asked Jesus. They said, are we supposed to forgive our brother 7 times? He said, 70 times 7.
Exactly.
He was telling them exactly how long that they were going to be in captivity. And hey, he was exactly telling them what Daniel was saying, but they didn't catch it. He said, nope, you got to forgive 70 times 7. You know what he was saying, Bob? He was saying, I'm going to forgive you in 70 times 7. So at the end of the 490 years, the land and the people will be redeemed back. Everybody got that? 70 times 7. In the 70 weeks of Daniel will be the redemption of Israel and the city, the people and the city. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so 70 weeks are determined upon thy city and upon thy holy city to do six things. All right, six things finishes the redemption of Israel. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Glory.
All right, now let's read number three just to reiterate what I was saying a minute ago. In the entombment, first thing we wish to draw your attention to is the infallibility of God's word. God keeps his word to the letter. And tonight we want to fasten our thoughts on that God keeps his word. We can rest assured of anything that God has said in his word to be the truth. And faith does not rest upon the shifting sands of man's idea or man's theology. Let me read that one more time. Faith does not rest upon the shifting sand of man's idea or man's theology. But it has its final resting place on the unmovable rock of God's eternal word.
Glory.
the word. Number four, God hiding himself in simplicity. And remember, that's the same spirit from the days of Noah that says there's no rain. We can shoot the moon with instruments and there's no rain. But if God said there'd be rain there, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and faith takes its final resting place on the word of God. There's where it finds its resting place. So the resting place of you, me, and every other believer is on the word of God.
Right.
Amen? Anything that you think, or the prophet thinks, or any man thinks, if it's contrary to the word of God, it's wrong.
Amen.
That's why Brother Brown said you can't both be right. One has to be right, one has to be wrong, but you both can't be right when it's contrary to the word of God.
Right.
You can't both be right and you look in the word and you say, well, no, that's not, there's only 3.5 years left of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
Bible says there's 1 week left
right.
of the, to make the covenant from the Antichrist to the Jews that we're fixing to talk about. So you have to make, a lot of people, what they're doing is they're trying to make the Bible fit the quote.
Yeah.
That's wrong and backwards.
Right.
That's what Satan did. That's what Satan did. Satan's quote, he quoted part of what God said,
right?
If he'd have quoted exactly what God said, he'd have been right. But he only quoted part of what God said, added a little bit to it, and he took Eve down and the whole human race went down. So now in the sixfold purpose, let's read number 5. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. For what purpose? Now this is Brother Brown. For what? Whose people was it determined upon? Daniel's people, the Jews. So, you got people, Jews. And look, upon not only Daniel, but upon Daniel's holy city.
Amen.
Daniel's holy city. Now, class, what was Daniel's holy city? Jerusalem. So, when we look at the 70 weeks of Daniel, it has to restore the people and the city. Inside of those 70 weeks, because 70 weeks are determined to do these 6 things. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
We're going to take it a little bit slow so you make sure you understand. We flew through it before sometimes, but maybe we need to kind of solidify it a little bit. Like Brother Richard was in the back there, and he's, I think I've got the original cassettes from 1974 of where Daddy preached the Daniel 70 weeks, and it ain't no different than what I'm telling you now. Where do you think I got the study from? Yeah, I stole his sermon. But God gives you revelation where you can put things together. But like I said, this is not a new revelation. This has been since back then, so it's okay. But we're going to keep going until everybody gets it. Amen? Because Brother Brown said, if there's a question in people's mind, there's a Bible answer for that question.
Right.
All right. That's why we're putting a lot of these are scriptures that we're going to read today. All right. Now let's look at number 6. Well, it talks about the redemption. Now look, the redemption of Jews in the city. Keep that in your mind. If you'll keep those 2 things in your mind, you'll understand this sixfold purpose and you'll understand that there's not 3.5 years left after the rapture of the whole of Daniel 70th week. Because the Bible said there's not.
Right.
Amen? Yep. According to the Bible. Anybody questions you on that, say, read Daniel 9.
Yep.
Let's see what it says.
Right.
Yep. And then if they give you another quote, say, let's read Daniel 9.
Yep.
Don't get off of that, because the Bible's not going to change.
Right.
Sixfold purpose, number 6. Now, I want to know, friends, that striking on these things, I'm certainly leaving out weeks of teaching. But just kind of hitting it so where the weather cools off for a little bit, we can get into the 7 seals, 7 vials, 7 trumpets, all these things. That I can refer back and say, do you remember on the 70 weeks of Daniel? Now, he does that many times in the seals, and I'm back with you one more time again. I want somebody to produce a quote where Brother Branham says, I was wrong then, and I'm correcting it now.
Right.
Now, there's several times in the seals. We just went through them, and I read you the quotes where Brother Branham said, this was all the way away from my thought. He thought the fifth seal Jew was the saints under the altar. Well, God had to correct him on that. He thought the first seal, he thought that was the white horse rider. It was the Antichrist. God had to.
Right.
But you know what? He came out and told us that.
Right.
What a man to come out and say, I was wrong all that time.
Yeah. Right.
When God corrected me on this. Well, now show me one time he said he corrected me on Daniel 70 weeks.
Right.
He did not, because he didn't correct. You can't correct the word.
Right, amen.
You just cannot correct the word. So he says, do you remember on the 70 weeks of Daniel? Do you remember the church age when it went up and what taken place? And the 70 weeks of Daniel covers from the going up of the church until the coming back of the church. That space is what it covers. Not all 70 weeks of Daniel, part of it. What he's saying is that part that we just said, we got to go back to 606 and bring you dates and all the time when Christ was cut off and the Jew and the Gentiles were engrafted in. That's the whole part of that chart. But that's all the 70 weeks there is for the redemption of Israel and the city. Is that one last week. That's what he'll say right here. All right, look. Let's keep reading. Because remember, from Revelations 4:1, look at me, from Revelations 4:1 to 19:21, we're gone.
Right, amen.
We're not on earth. 4:1, there's a door open in heaven and we go up in it. That's the rapture. And we don't come back to Revelation 19. You say, well, why is it in there? This is what? This is, we get the spiritual part. We get the allegories. We get the types and the shadows of the different things that's going on. Because remember, you say, well, why did you preach for a year and a half on the seals if we're not even going to be here? You got a spiritual part you got to get. Because it's a plan of redemption. How are you going to throw out part of the plan of redemption? You cannot throw out. Everything's got to, we're redeemed. Israel's redeemed. The earth is redeemed. Remember, everything fell in the Garden of Eden. There was nothing. Nothing made it unscathed. Everything fell from Adam all the way down to Jesus Christ, and he was even living in a fallen body. And it had to be redeemed. It had to be made eternal. But he gave his soul a ransom. That was eternal. Amen. Thank God. And the 70 weeks of Daniel covers from the going up of the church until the coming back of the church. This afternoon we'll get into that, because it's taken up into anoint the most holy. He gets real clear on that. 70 weeks are determined. Now there was a sixfold purpose of his visit, telling him what was going to come to pass. Now there was a sixfold purpose of his coming. Now tonight, I think we'll leave off over here in the scriptures where he was at this morning, where was the sixfold purpose. He's not going to read it again, in other words. Let's go down to the next paragraph. And 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now remember, that is all the journey of the Israelites will have on this earth. They are determined 70 weeks. What? 490 years.
Right.
All right. 70 weeks is just determined. That's all that's allotted to the Jews upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Therefore, these 70 weeks. Now this is Brother Branham. Now don't miss it. It will reveal from that time to the end of the Jews and also to the end of Jerusalem.
Right.
Until there will be a new city built.
Amen.
Now, when is the new city going to be built? Listen, they've tore every one of them down, and they're going to, when we leave, they're going to tear the one down that's over there.
Right.
Remember, they're going to drop a bomb, Prophet of God said, right into the Mosque of Omar. Well, it's right in the middle of Jerusalem, right?
Right.
It'll blow that whole city up.
Right.
Then what? Then you come into the millennial temple that we're going to talk about this afternoon, where there'll be a millennial temple built, that there'll be no sacrifices made. There'll be a holy of holies, but you're going to be sitting in it.
Right.
Wow. Wow. Oh, I hope we get this real deep tonight. Are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. To do what? Now we're going to start into it just a minute, but I want you to see this part. How is this going to happen? Somebody shows up when we leave. There's two prophets show up.
Right.
They're not preaching now.
Right.
Because God's not dealing with the Gentiles and the Jews at the same time. He's dealing with us. It's what I said before. I don't say it's a waste of time to go to Israel, but that's not our part.
Right.
That's not for us.
Right.
Why don't we get ourselves ready to get out of here?
Amen.
Get ourselves ready to get out of here. Then God can go to the Jews. He's already promised it. I'm reading it right here, Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood and said, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So guess what's going to happen? They're going to build that temple. They're going to put it back together. As soon as we leave, that's why the Pope's going to go over there and say, hey, let's make a covenant. And the Israel's going to go, well, you've got our stuff. You've got our menorah and you've got our Holy of Holies. You've got our lavers. You it's down there in the basement in the Vatican somewhere. So Pope's going to say, okay, let's make a covenant. You know what he's got in his mind. He's going to take over. So he gives them all that stuff back. They put the temple back together. I just read you that quote. Back over here a little bit, it says, Jerusalem will be rebuilt again, the daily sacrifice will be set up, and the Antichrist will make a covenant for them last 7 weeks or 7 years,
right.
And in the midst he'll break the covenant.
Right.
They're going to get everything back together.
Sure. Right.
We'll talk about that in a little while. But let's go to Revelations 11, 1, verse 2. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot, 42 months. Now what's 42 months?
3.5 years.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses, we know through the prophet of God, that is the spirit of Moses and the spirit of Elijah on two Jews.
Right.
Nothing to do with the Gentiles. Listen, folks, even now, we're dogs to them. We're not even, they hate us being even over there. They treated Daddy and them pretty bad, you know, while they were over there. And that was back in the 90s. Think about now. Because, you know, it's the spirit, though. That's them Jews. It's not Christian Jews. They're just Jews. Hey, we're Jews. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, which is what? 1,260 days. And if you don't mind... Somebody was asking me a question the other day. I've got 1,260 days. That's that prophecy that we just talked about, Revelation 11. But there is 1,260 days on this side, too. If you want to, you can go ahead and write that in there. What? Oh, I'm sorry. You can go ahead and write that in there. Sorry, Josh. That's my boy. So you can go ahead and write 1,260 days up here because it's 1,260, 3.5 years, and 3.5 years... Of 360 days to a year, not 365 and a fourth.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so it's 1260. If you write it on your chart, 1260 and 1260. All right, everybody got that?
Right.
All right. The two witnesses are going to do what? They're going to do three things, just like God come to us on the day of Pentecost that Brother Dale's been preaching for months now. What's he going to do? Pull it up. Pull it back up to where I got... The three, that's exactly what they're going to do to the Jews. They're going to preach justification. They're going to preach sanctification. They're going to preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're going to receive not the message of the hour, us. No, they're going to receive their message. Now, sure, they're going to hear from that Brother Branham was here, and they'll probably quote him, but they're not going to go over there, like I said, I'm sorry. They're not going to go over there and just play tapes. There's two human people going to go over there.
Amen.
And they're going to preach. And fire is going to proceed from their mouth. And whatever they say, that's what's going to happen. You know what? They're untouchable for 1,260 days. Nothing can kill them. Don't you think I've said before, the Mossad, the FBI, the CIA, the KGB, the BFI, and whatever you want to call them, they're all going to be wanting to kill them two guys.
Right?
Because all they're going to do is stand there and go, oh, open up the... ground and, you know, big troop coming at you. And they go, nah, open up the ground. Like Moses did, same thing. Suck up 1,000 men at a time. They're going to be untouchable for 1,260 days. Don't you think this whole world is going to be mad at them? Amen? Because they have power to do all the shut up the heaven, don't rain for 3.5 years. You think we're having a problem out here now. Think about 3.5 years of that. And the Bible says even in Elijah's time, dew didn't even fall on the ground. There wasn't even dew on the ground for 3.5 years. So they're going to preach justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to show, too, that if you look at your chart, we're going to show that they what? In through their message, they finish the transgression of Israel. They make an end of sins of Israel. And they make reconciliation for iniquity. So they finish and end and reconcile. Isn't that what God did to you?
Right.
He put you through justification. Chopped off your past sins. Got rid of what? Your old you.
Right.
Your old you sins. He didn't get rid of the old you. He got rid of the old you sins. The old you's still there. The old you don't die right here. But you take sanctification. What's that? Cleaned and set aside for service. Then the Holy Ghost is going to come in and fill them Somewhere during that 1260 days, 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel is going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they're going to go in the rapture. They're going to be killed along with the two witnesses. All right, so let's go. Real quick, finish the transgression. All right, everybody got that? This is the what transgression means in the Bible. In other words, look at yourself in your justification. Put this also under the first seal where the white horse rider, you look at justification. What is that? As recognized by a sinner, as God forgives. What did he do? What did God forgive? He forgave your past sins enough for you to realize you were lost. And then you moved into sanctification. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. He gives you a new heart and a new spirit. You move into sanctification. Well, that's what's going to happen to the children of Israel. During this time, the Jews are going to be preached and they're going to realize they transgressed.
Right.
They're going to realize they sinned. But look, I love what it says. Finish. God finished your transgression when he justified you. Now look at number 7. Sixfold purpose. Now if we go back into Daniel again, we'll find out that in Daniel we find out the 24th verse, to finish the transgression. To finish what? To finish Israel's transgression. Now look, this is not to the world. There's not one Gentile going to be saved after the rapture, after we leave. So this is only, Brother Ray, to the 144,000. It's not going to be 144,010, but you understand what I mean. I mean, there's going to be women and children there too. But the 144,000 heads of the household are going to be saved. So let's be technical about it, okay? To finish Israel's transgression, what is a transgress? It's to go against something. A transgress against me is to do a wrong to me. What did we do? Our transgression was, I lived 20 years a transgressor. I did wrong to God. If I'd accepted it, it saved me at 12 years old. Or whatever the age of accountability is. But I didn't do that.
Right.
You didn't do that.
Exactly.
So you transgress against you is to do a wrong to you. So Israel did a wrong to God.
Right.
And in this 70th week, now did he say half? He said in this 70th week, what's going to happen? God is going to finish the transgression of Israel.
Right.
Finish the transgression will be turning away the ungodliness from Jacob, and then all Israel will be born again. All of them will receive the Holy Ghost. Now, but it's got to finish the transgression. You got to start somewhere.
Right.
He's going to finish the transgression because remember, those who is justified, he's already glorified. All right, same way with you. You and I, that's why the type is to me and you. This 70 weeks of Daniel is a type to me and you of how we get to our redemption. But what happens to Israel, they get a definite space of time, and you got to put the land in. Our land is what you're sitting in today. This is the land of the Gentiles that God wants to inhabit. Sure, he loves that city over there, but he'd rather inhabit you than inhabit a house. But he had to start that way with Israel. He had to give them, Moses had to go and get a tabernacle, put it up, the Holy of Holies. The priest would go in one time. He would make an atonement for all of Israel. That's how it had to begin. But remember, Christ came and made an atonement once for all.
Glory.
Took care of every bit of that. So we don't have to build a building. He built a building right here. Hebrews 10:5. A body thou hast prepared me. So God can tabernacle in it. That's what Brother Dale's preaching on the statue of perfect man. He comes and inhabits, but you got to remember there's doors and doors and doors indoors, you know. So Israel did a wrong to God. He will turn the ungodliness from Jacob. Then all Israel will be born again. Now you say, oh, he said all Israel. 144,000. Go back to the Bible. All right. All of them will receive the Holy Ghost. That's true. All 144,000 will receive the Holy Ghost. Romans 11, verse 21. Let's look and see what the Bible says about the ungodliness of Jacob. For if God spared not of the natural branches, took heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. He's talking to the Gentiles.
Right.
We were grafted in. We were the wild olive branch.
Right.
And I know you didn't, can't see it, but I'm going to reach right here and get this. I'd hand these out, but you'd look at this and wouldn't look at me. You see that part right there? That's the engrafting of the Gentiles.
Right.
That's what Paul's talking about. Israel is always the olive tree, right?
Right.
If there had not been a Gentile bride, this is what would have happened. That would have been 490 running years, complete 490 running years. Israel would have been redeemed and they would have had a future home to go to.
Right.
But remember, God had in his mind a Gentile bride.
Right.
So we had to be grafted in this tree.
Right.
But now remember, these branches were cut off at Calvary. Jews. The Jews got cut off.
Right.
After 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. Who cut him off? Who killed him? The Jews killed him. Sure, you say, well, we killed him. But no, literally, the Jews said, let his blood be on us. We'll get to it in just a second.
Right.
But this is the engrafting Paul's talking about, but watch what he says. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in,
right.
For God is able to graft them in again.
Right.
He's got to finish that week. He's got to finish that last part because they turned him down right here. At Calvary, they turned him down. Cut him off. But he's going to graft them back in. That's what he says right here. Shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, that was us, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branch be grafted into their own tree?
Glory.
Because the tree is Jewish. We were just grafted in. The wild olive branch was just grafted in to live off the life. Amen. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Let you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So God blinded his children. We know on the fifth seal, we were talking about that. God blinded their whole of Israel's eyes. He is not dealing with them during this whole time, but he's going to graft them back in when we leave. When we leave, they've been blind, but how was your eyes open? Because remember, before you were born again, you were blind. Some person, somebody preached a sermon, somebody read a scripture, somebody put you under conviction because of what the Word said. And what? Your eyes were open. So through two prophets, in that 1260 days, they're going to preach justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and their eyes are going to be open. We'll read it in just a little while. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, Paul, all Israel? No, we realize that's 144,000. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. How's their sins going to be taken away? Two prophets, sixfold purpose.
Exactly.
All right, everybody got that? Say amen. All right, just for a minute here. Make an end of sin, number two. Remember, finish. When God justifies you, he never remembers what you did from that point back. Amen? God's got to forget what Israel did to him.
Right. Amen.
You say that was horrible. What you did to him was worse.
Amen.
So let's don't crow, like Brother Brown says. Let's don't crow too much. You say, oh, them poor old Israelites, they were blinded. Well, so were you. Until God opened your eyes, you were blinded. And, you know, until you had an end of sin, watch what this is going on. Watch how this, I saw this the other day, and it really touched my heart. So let's see if it'll touch yours. Because remember, Where did it do their vital? Number two, make an end of sins. Now let's read again Daniel to finish transgression and make an end of sins. Now when God makes an end of something, it's over. Amen. When God makes an end of sin, end of sins, it's over. Now let's read Daniel 9. That's his second purpose of coming. First, to finish Israel's transgression and make an end of sin. Where did Israel sin? Where did they do their vital sin? Where did they separate themselves from God? Now he goes to Matthew, he says 24, but it's 27. We know that. So he says here, Matthew 27, the Gospel of Matthew. So let's go to Matthew 27, 21, and let's read this. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will then I release unto you? They said, now who's they? It is a congregation of the chief priests and elders of Israel, not Gentiles. The Jews is what came to him and said, here, we want him crucified. Because watch Pilate, he's trying to give him back to him. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with this Jesus which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Okay, on us and our children. So for 2,000 years, that prophecy has been running. It's been a running prophecy. Let his blood be on us and our children. In other words, every generation from that time forward, God has cut them off or blinded them. But let's look at something for you, just for a minute. What is sanctification? What is sanctification? Red blood. Red blood. Cleaned and set aside. Cleaned and set aside. What? The red blood, the red horse rider. Sanctification is what? Red. Let's watch this. Let's go back, number 9. There's where they done it. He was making an end of sin for them. How could he do anything else but forgive them, knowing that he had to blind their eyes that we could come in? It's like his own children calling for his blood. Listen, the very blood they were calling for is what sanctified them. They were calling their own sanctification. They just didn't know that. And that is horrible. But that's the best thing they could have said. God knew there was going to be the Gentiles come in, but when they said, let his blood be on us, he kept them for 2,000 years. Sure, they went through horrible things, but he's going to come out of this thing in sanctification through two prophets, and by the cleansing of the shed blood, they're going to see that blood was shed at Calvary for them. No one had to blind them so they could come in. It's like his own children calling for his blood. And they were blinded. And he knowed they were blinded. That's the reason he cried for forgiveness for them. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. They were blind. For our sake, they were made blind. In their unbelief, they did this. But when they see him again, amen, put an end to sin. What is sin? Unbelief. They did not believe it was the Messiah. They could not see him to be the Messiah. Yet he done every sign the Messiah was supposed to do, but they could not see it. They were blind. Now let's go to Zechariah 13. Let's read a few scriptures right here. Zechariah 13:1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Zechariah 13, let's continue to read verse 6 though. Let's skip it down a little bit. There you go. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now remember, I didn't get this in here because I thought I wouldn't have time, but let me just interject right here. Brother Branham said Jesus quoted this very scripture, but he stopped right here. Just like he said, today the scripture's fulfilled in your ears. He was talking about, you know, and Brother Brown said Jesus stopped because the rest of it will be fulfilled later. Well, see, he couldn't say the rest of it. He couldn't turn his hand to the little ones, which is the Benjamin group, the 144,000. He turned it to us.
Right. Amen.
And then now we read, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Jesus couldn't say that because he went what? They already rejected him. He was headed toward the Gentiles. But he knew that when all this was over and when the Gentiles had left, that he's going to turn back to the little ones, the little Benjamin group. Amen? That all right? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, look, let's go to number 10. They'll be so ashamed of theirself when they stand there and see that very one that they crucified in the night standing there, their own precious Joseph. There'll be such mourning, they'll say, where did you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends. See what I mean? To make an end of sin, of unbelief. That's what he's coming for. In this 70th year of Daniel, now he corrects himself, 70th week, not half week, 70th week rather, coming to make an end of sin, put it away. You understand now what's the first? To finish the transgression. To make an end of sin. Now number 3 is going to be make reconciliation. We'll get to that in about... Give me about 5 more minutes. But sanctification, let's pull it up to the next one. This is what I was talking about. Sanctification. Red blood. They said, let his blood be on us.
Right.
They were calling their own sanctification, but now remember, God had to cut them off because they didn't believe he was doing it.
Right.
Remember, Brother Brown told us, he said, Christ died at Calvary for all of us, justified us, sanctified us.
Right?
Right? We just remember it was applied to us during the church ages, but it was not applied to the Jews until we leave. Then it becomes applied to them.
Glory.
He didn't have, listen, the Day of Atonement, Christ don't have to get back on the cross. You don't have to kill the major sacrifice.
Right.
He's already been killed at Calvary.
Glory.
They're going to look and say, where did you get those wounds? And this says, well, in the house of my friends. But you know what the two prophets are going to do? They're going to turn them right back to that very statement. And they're going to say, you put it on yourself.
Right.
You said let his blood be on us. And thank God you did because it's covered you for 2,000 years.
Right.
And now your eyes are going to be open.
Right.
Same way with us.
Right.
If you'll follow, listen, if you're born again, when we hit these things of justification, you'll say, that's exactly what happened to me.
Exactly.
May not be exact same statement I make or Brother Dale makes, but when I became sanctified, I knew somebody was cleaning me up and it was not me. So they're going to come to a place to where they're going to say, through those two prophets, they're going to see Christ. Not physically. You're not going to see him physically. You're seeing him through a fivefold ministry and through your life that lives it back out. Let his blood, the red horse, let his blood be on us. Well, hey, let his blood be on me.
Yeah.
Keep me sanctified.
Yeah. Glory.
Keep me to a place to where what?
Yes.
There's your daily sanctification.
Right.
Just keep what? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Brother Brown even says, he said, oh, they're trying to do away with the blood. Listen, you do away with the blood, you've took yourself out from under any type of keeping you clean.
Right.
I want to stay under there and just let it completely just run all over me. So did they. But you know, we looked at that and you said, well, that's the most hideous sin they did. That's all they could do. To be where they can be sanctified when we leave, where they can look back and the two prophets go, there is where it happened.
Right.
Calvary is where this man called Jesus sanctified you. Because look, it says, where did you get the wounds? He had already been crucified.
Right.
The wounds, what? He was at Calvary. He got wounded. Remember, he was wounded for your transgression. Bruised for your iniquity. Stay with them. All right, let's go to Acts 2:38. And Peter said unto them, repent. Because we got one more level to go to, right? We got one more. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
For the promises unto you. Who was he talking to? Talking to Jews. Because remember, the first bunch that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost were Jews.
Right.
He fell on the Jews first, the Bible says, then on the Gentiles.
Right.
So there was an overlap. You're going to see overlaps. Everything has an overlap.
Right.
All right, there's an overlap of the Gentiles coming in, there was 120 in the upper room. They were all Jews. But there was 3,000 downstairs. It was of many nations. But remember, they were the spokesperson. So it was a Jewish first run, in other words, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But there was a time in there where Paul says, look, we're closing the door. God's closing the door on you because I've come to you and you've rejected me. What? To the Jews. He said, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. Well, see, that opened up that time of the Gentiles where you and I could come in. Right? But there is an overlap in there. For the promises unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's do this real quick. To make reconciliation for iniquity. That's number three. Look on your chart. You got to reconcile the people. It's going to take one, two, three. Finish the transgression. Make an end of sin and reconciliation for iniquity.
Right.
Listen, God talks about reconciling. What's reconciling? That means you've been apart for a while.
Right.
He can't talk to you. Sure, he can talk to you a little bit, but he really wants, when he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he is intimately communing with you.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Intimately communing with you. And that's what he wants to do, those 144,000.
Right.
To make reconciliation for iniquity. Real quick. What is that? To cover, to purge, make an atonement. Make reconciliation, cover over with pitch. To cover over, atone for sin. Make an atonement. Now when the priest went in to make the atonement, he didn't have to go back the next day. They were covered for a whole year according to what God had told them. Right? But now God, Christ, went into the Holy of Holies one time, and He's covered us for an eternity.
Right.
All right, so they don't have to go back to sacrifices. That's what's going to kill them 144,000. They're going to be killed by their own people
right.
when they walk into the temple and say, that's not it.
Right.
This sacrificing of goats and animals.
Right.
And all them ones, though, those staunch Jews, have been trying for 2,000 years to get that back together, and all of a sudden they get it all back together, and as a group walks in and goes, God ain't even in this.
Right.
God's in this now.
That's right.
He's not even in that building. He's in this now. Lord, they're going to kill them 144,000. Just like they'll kill us, even not, maybe not physically, but they can kill your influence. To cover over, atone for sin, to make an atonement. So what's it going to do? When he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive the atonement.
Amen,
amen, right? You receive the atonement. Christ doesn't have to get back on the cross. He's already covered you.
Glory.
You just got to accept it. Number 11, let's do this real quick. Sixfold purpose, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Iniquity is doing wrong as they did at the cross. He made reconciliations, but it will not be applied to them.
Right.
Why? It wasn't applied back then. He did it. Remember, he don't have to go get back up on Calvary when the two witnesses hit the earth. They're going to point them back to the true atonement that happened 2,000 years ago and said, that's where you did your wrong. It was not applied to them. Why? Because they were blinded and could not see it. And the prophet says, well, why did they blind? You said, well, maybe today because I'm blind. You're willfully blind. They were blinded because God blinded them. See, if God blinds you, that's why he's got to give that fifth sealed Jew eternal life. Because he's the one that blinded them. Man didn't blind them. God himself blinded those Jews. So that you and I could come in. So he has to give them eternal life. Because he's a just God. Sorry, Brother Larry. Put your hearing aid in. I'm about done. Well, maybe today because I'm blind, you're willfully blind. They were blind because God blinded them, but you're blind because you're willfully blind. There's no reconciliation for you. If you believe not, I am He, Jesus said, you'll die in your sins. Now he talks about in the days of Zechariah. Let's skip on down. Number 12, sixfold purpose. Now Jesus quoted that scripture. Here it is. I did put it in here. Smite the shepherd and scatter the sheep. But notice the next paragraph. He just quoted that much of it. But watch what the next sentence of it says, the next part of it. I will turn my hand to the little ones. What? The Benjamin group that's coming up now. I will turn my hand to the little ones. See, we can almost say today that scripture's fulfilled. Because he's headed toward them. We're about over here.
Right.
We're about done. There's no more church ages, no more prophets to come. It's just getting ready to get out of here. And then, boom, he's going right over there to them.
Right?
He just quoted it. I'll turn it to the Benjamin group that's coming up. Now I'll turn my hand to the little ones. Smite the shepherd, Israel. First, Israel smote the shepherd.
Right.
Israel smote Christ.
Right.
Smote the shepherd back 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Scattered the sheep to all the world.
Yeah.
Remember the promise was, is you're going to be scattered. Dispersed all over the world. And then what's going to happen? You're going to come back. We already read that. But God said, I will turn my hand back to get them little ones at the last day. When? When reconciliation for iniquity has been made, Israel will be saved, every one of them.
Glory.
Let's turn to Isaiah, he says. Isaiah 66 chapter and read just for a minute and see what God says about Israel being saved, how long it will take to save Israel. Watch real quick as in Isaiah 66, the 8th verse, if you want to read it. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. As soon as Zion saw that that was their Messiah, she was born again in one day. Make reconciliation for sins to make reconciliation for iniquity. You see what I mean? This is what Brother Dale's talking about. You can be justified and sanctified. These people can be justified and sanctified for 1,259 days. But one day, they're going to be saved.
Glory.
Now, I'm just reading the Bible.
Right.
But you got to go through the process.
Right.
Same way with all of us.
Amen.
You got to go through a process. As soon as Zion saw that her Messiah, that was her Messiah, she was born again in one day. Make reconciliation for sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, uncleanness, oh my. They did that what was evil, that which was wrong. Reconciliation was made for their iniquity. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, they're going to be totally a new creature. Because they're over there right now. Listen, they're over there right now and they still don't believe that Christ was a Messiah. But they're going to be turned, just like you didn't. You thought, oh yeah, well, there was a Jesus and there was a... No, he didn't become personal till you got the new birth.
Right.
He's not going to become personal to them until they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us. Now what? We're taking on the reconciliation for iniquity.
Yeah.
All right. Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Right.
That's what I said before. Through a minister, you got convicted.
Right, right.
Or reading scripture, listening to a tape, listening to somebody on... You didn't just sit there one day and go, I'm lost. No, there had to be a conviction.
Right.
You cannot tell me you just were walked out of the wilderness and said, I'm lost.
Right.
No, there was a conviction somewhere
that
God said, I am separated from you. I have been separated from you for a long time. Now I want to reconcile you back to fellowship. Because
right.
Watch what he says. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Right.
That word of reconciliation is going to go to the two witnesses, through the two witnesses, for the 144,000, and they're going to get born again. They're going to receive the new birth. Now, they're not going to be bride. They've lost that position. Do you understand that?
Amen.
But they will have the same Holy Ghost you get.
Right.
Or there's two different Holy Ghosts. Let's read Zechariah 12:9-14. It said, well, about the atonement of the new birth. So there's your three processes. They go through three processes just like you do.
Amen.
You know why? Because Brother Brown said,
right.
Future home, read it the other day, or heard it the other day going up the road. He said, since a boy, I taught those three processes. You know what? Them three processes, if it's good enough for seven church ages, it's good enough for 144,000 because God don't change his word. Amen? Zechariah 12 verse 9, this is the last one. Musicians come after this. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Israel. Because watch, we're coming up to the time where he's going to break that covenant. Then there's going to be a battle of Armageddon right here. We're going to talk about that this afternoon, all right? And prove it by the Bible that after the 1260 days, the two witnesses and the 144,000, they go into rapture. There's nothing left but destruction.
That's right.
Okay? That's why that there can't be only 3.5 years left because you're not finished with the sixfold purpose.
Right.
The sixfold purpose has to happen inside 70 weeks of Daniel.
Amen.
And that's according to the Bible.
Right.
All right. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for me, what? As one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Not all over the world. 144,000. In that day there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddon. What? Where's the battle of Armageddon? You went to the Megiddo is a valley right there outside of Jerusalem. All right. And the land shall mourn. The people and the land. And the land shall mourn every family apart and the family of the house of David apart. And their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. What they're going to do? They're going to mourn. They realize they killed the Messiah 2,000 years ago. And God's going to say, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And that's what's going to happen is when that 144,000 is saved, God's going to take them in a rapture.
Glory.
And then there will be no one left on this earth that has the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Holy Ghost will be gone off of this earth.
Right.
There'll be a foolish virgin, but they didn't receive the Holy Ghost.
Right.
There'll be a cup of water in my name. There'll be all these different people that has to stay on the earth. Brother Brown says has to go through the tribulation to be purified.
Right.
But if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't stay here.
Right.
Jew or Gentile.
Right.
You are Gentile. So now what we've done is now we're going to regroup. We're going to regroup tonight, this afternoon. We're going to review some of this, show where the Battle of Armageddon is, and then see the other half of that 70th week, because 1 week equals what? 7 years, not 3.5 years. All right, let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. You love the Lord?
Amen.
We're a word-born bride.
Glory.
So we can't be born of nothing else.
That's right.
We got to be born by the Word.
Glory.
And if that Word's anointed and you receive it, then it kind of helps you be anointed.
Right.
But that's part of that's three of the sixfold purpose. You know what that does? That gets the people redeemed.
Right.
But we got to get a land redeemed.
Exactly.
Remember, it's two. Daniel, thy people, and the city. Well, the city can't be redeemed until after the Battle of Armageddon. Because if you redeem it before, and then you have a Battle of Armageddon, you destroyed what you just built. Because a millennial temple is going to be built, got to be built after the Battle of Armageddon. And when he cuts us, when the Antichrist cuts them off in the midst of the week, which is to 1260 days, then he's going to step into the tabernacle or the Holy of Holies, and he said, I'm God.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, no, you're not. Boom, boom, boom. Then everybody's going to start destroying each other.
Right.
But you know what? We're going to be in glory.
Glory.
We're not going to be here.
Right.
It's what I said before. If you never get a revelation of anything of this message, you get one revelation. If you're born again, you will not have to go through the tribulation period.
Glory.
You will not have to stand before the white throne judgment. So thank God for that.
Glory.
Amen. Let's sing a song.
When I reach that city, page 26.
Page what?
26.
On the top of Mount Zion.
I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Though a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee. When I reach that city on the hill, oh, I'm invited to come home to that city.
For the word says, whosoever will,
you believe that?
And I'll find there's a mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Will never molest me in that city, never leave me lying cold and chill, and I'll enter to live up there forever.
If you
when
believe
I
that,
reach
you're dismayed.
That city on the hill, hold that city. City on the hill, so I'll stay here until my